the book of Judges. Judges chapter 1, and we come in where we left off last week. We commence now at verse 22. Judges 1 and verse 22. And the house of Joseph, they also went up against Bethel, and the Lord was with them. And the house of Joseph sent to descry Bethel. Now the name of the city before was Luz. And the spies saw a man come forth out of the city. And they said unto him, Show us, we pray thee, the entrance into the city, and we will show thee mercy. And when he showed them the entrance into the city, they smote the city with the edge of the sword, but they let go the man and all his family. And the man went into the land of the Hittites and built a city, and called the name thereof Luz, which is the name thereof unto this day. Neither did Manasseh drive out the inhabitants of Beth-shean and her towns, nor Taanach and her towns, nor the inhabitants of Dor and her towns, nor the inhabitants of Ibleam and her towns, nor the inhabitants of Megiddo and her towns. But the Canaanites would dwell in that land. And it came to pass when Israel was strong that they put the Canaanites to tribute and did not utterly drive them out. May the Lord bless us that reading this evening. Last week, you'll remember, we studied some of the historical and geographical detail which underlied the statements which were made in verse 21. And then from that detail, one sought to draw out the spiritual lessons. First, I pointed out that Jerusalem was right on the border of the lands which were occupied by Judah and Benjamin. The actual boundary went right through the city. Judah had the southern half of the city, and Benjamin the northern half. Judah dealt with the heathen in his half, but Benjamin failed to take action against the Jebusites, which were in his part of the city. Rather did he settle down and dwell with them. In this I pointed out the great sin and failure of that tribe and likened it to the attitude of very many Christians in the present day. The application was most serious and searching. Without going into any more detail on the previous sermon, we now move on. And as I said last time, these verses give a brief report on each tribe and how they reacted to God's commands regarding the many enemies which were in the territories which had been allotted to them. And so we come now to verse 22. And the house of Joseph, they also went up against Bethel, and the Lord was with them. The house of Joseph. But there was no tribe called after his name. There was no tribe of Joseph. Yet he was one of the 12 sons of Jacob. Well, those who heard the series of ministry some years ago now, as we came through the book of Genesis, you may remember the reason for this. In any case, I'll just outline the sense of it and give you the references. Then shall we rightly understand that which is being said here in the book of Judges. On his deathbed, as Jacob called his sons together for his parting words to them, one by one, he pronounced his blessing upon them. And in the 49th chapter of the book of Genesis, verse 28, we read, All these are the 12 tribes of Israel. And this is it that their father spake unto them, and blessed them. Every one, according to his blessing, he blessed them. The people known as the Hebrews were founded by the 12 sons of Jacob. These 12 sons were the tribal fathers, with one exception, and that was Joseph, who incidentally was Jacob's favorite son. Well, how is this to be explained? So we have to go to Genesis chapter 48, and I'll bring you the verses which explain. Genesis 48, verse 3, "And Jacob said unto Joseph, God Almighty appeared unto me at Luz in the land of Canaan, and blessed me, and said unto me, Behold, I will make thee fruitful, and multiply thee, and I will make of thee a multitude of people, and will give this land to thy seed after thee for an everlasting possession. And now thy two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, which were born unto thee in the land of Egypt, before I came unto thee into Egypt, are mine, as Reuben and Simeon, they shall be mine. And thy issue, which thou begettest after them, shall be thine, and shall be called after the name of their brethren in their inheritance." Now in these verses, Jacob is seen as adopting his two grandsons, Ephraim and Manasseh, who were the sons of Joseph. He was adopting them, and says, Jacob, now they are reckoned by me as being my own sons, just as much as Reuben and Simeon are my sons. Thy issue, which thou begettest after them, shall be thine, said Jacob to Joseph. And so Joseph is represented by his two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh. By this, Joseph, the favorite son, he receives a double portion. Now, some 150 years later, the Israelites had actually entered the land of promise, and each son of Jacob had been allotted their territory. We read of this in the book of Joshua, chapter 17, verses 17 and 18. "And Joshua spake unto the house of Joseph, even to Ephraim and Manasseh, saying, Thou art a great people, and hast great power. Thou shalt not have one lot only, but the mountain shall be thine, for it is a wood, and thou shalt cut it down, and the outgoings of it shall be thine. For thou shalt drive out the Canaanites, though they have iron chariots, and though they be strong." So in these verses, you see, the house of Joseph was represented by his two sons, and each of those two sons received their own designated portion of the promised land. It's quite possible that this might raise a further query in the minds of some. If this is so, then we must have 13 tribal heads. But no, for these two are reckoned as the house of Joseph. He is represented by these two. Well then, there must have been 13 territories, because Manasseh and Ephraim each had a separate territory. So there must be 13 territories. Again, the answer is no, because Levi, he never had any land allocated to him. Many times in the Pentateuch, God had said that because they, that is, those of Levi, because they were the priestly tribe, they were chosen to operate specifically in the service of God, they were to have no part of the land given to them. I'll just bring to you the references, Deuteronomy 18, verses 1 and 2. The priests, the Levites, and all the tribe of Levi shall have no part nor inheritance with Israel. They shall eat the offerings of the Lord made by fire and his inheritance. Therefore shall they have no inheritance among their brethren. The Lord is their inheritance, as he hath said unto them. Now this command concerning the Levites, way back in the book of Deuteronomy, was strictly adhered to by Joshua when he divided the land. In his book, the book of Joshua, it is expressly stated in chapter 13 and verse 14, only unto the tribe of Levi he gave none inheritance. The sacrifice of the Lord God of Israel made by fire are their inheritance, as he said unto them. Verse 33, but unto the tribe of Levi Moses gave not any inheritance. The Lord God of Israel was their inheritance, as he had said unto them. So when you read in Holy Scripture of the 12 tribes of Israel, which you often do, 12 tribes are constantly mentioned, and Joseph is not named as a tribal head, then this is the reason. He is represented by his two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh. And when you look at a map which shows how the land was divided, which you can in any Bible dictionary, you look at a map and see how the land was divided by Joshua, and you find that there is no territory for Simeon or Levi, the answer is, as we saw a week or two ago, that Simeon shared that very large area to the south with his brother Judah, because it was by far the largest portion of land. And as for Levi, he was to have no land because of his priestly calling. Well, having given this rather lengthy explanation, let's return to verse 22 of the first chapter of Judges. And the house of Joseph, they also went up against Bethel, and the Lord was with them. Now, with the information which I have just brought before you, it is clear that the house of Joseph means Ephraim and Manasseh. They're described here as the house of Joseph. Here in verse 22, we see the house of Joseph going up against Bethel. Bethel being in the section of the country which was given to them, as you see on the map. And we're dealing with these two tribes, the house of Joseph. Ephraim goes up against Bethel. Obviously it was a colony there, or a settlement of heathen inhabitants, which God had commanded them to drive out. And so these heathen settlers who'd been there for many generations, they were there in that section which had been given to the house of Joseph. The Ephraimites go up to gain possession of that which God had given to them. And our verse states, the Lord was with them. In this action of obedience and faith, we see the favor of God resting upon them. You see, these Ephraimites, who were of the house of Joseph, they knew that the command of God was that they should drive out all the enemies. And so in obedience, they go to engage the foe, claiming the promise which God had made with them to be their helper. No sooner did the Ephraimites set out for Bethel than the Lord went with them. And this is ever and always the same, dear ones. They were going out in obedience to their God. In consequence, God was with them. Whatever be the situation or the circumstance which calls for action in spiritual matters, if we in obedience take our stand for God and for truth, He will immediately be with us. Of this we can be absolutely certain, beloved. On the contrary, if we shirk our responsibility, and if we fail to be obedient to the word and to the will of God, it will never be said of us, the Lord was with him or with her. A number of the other tribes are listed in this chapter who made little, if any, attempt to drive out the inhabitants as God had commanded. But of them, it is never said the Lord was with them. We should be going through the other members of the tribes in the will of God in the weeks ahead. It's never said of them the Lord was with them. It's a very solemn warning, you know, to the child of God who is faithless and disobedient to the mind of God. For such forfeit the presence and the blessing of God upon them. Now to verse 23. And the house of Joseph sent to describe Bethel. Now the name of the city before was Luz. And the spies saw a man come forth out of the city, and they said unto him, Show us, we pray thee, the entrance into the city, and we will show thee mercy. And when he showed them the entrance into the city, they smote the city with the edge of the sword, but they let go the man and all his family. The house of Joseph, in this engagement, sent out spies. Quite a normal thing. Well, they, in their espionage, they sought the help of a local man who, in the overruling providence of God, was prepared to assist them. Pointing out the easy route of access. And then these Ephraimites, they were quick to enter and to attack, smiting the whole city and sparing only the man who had helped them and his family. And then in verse 26 we read, And the man went into the land of the Hittites and built a city and called the name thereof Luz, which is the name thereof unto this day. Now there's quite a lot, I discover, which has been written about this man by differing commentators. Some say that he was a God-fearing man and he was out to help the Israelites. Well, I find no warrant whatsoever for that view in Scripture. No hint is given that he ever expressed any faith in Israel's God. Other commentators condemn him as a traitor to his own people. But one whom God in his sovereignty took up to help his people. Well, that would appear to fit the narrative better than the first point of view. But closer investigation sets before us a most up-to-date and practical application. Bethel was known originally as Luz. It was here, you will remember, that Jacob had that amazing dream of a ladder set up on the earth, the top of which reached to heaven. And on that night, Almighty God appeared to Jacob. That was a very wonderful experience. And as Almighty God appeared to him, he informed him that that very area in which he was now found would one day be given to his seed. And Jacob arose from his sleep saying, "Surely God is in this place." And he there erected a memorial, and he named the place Bethel, which means the house of God. However, over the years, that locality had become overrun by the heathen, an idolatrous people. They may have paid some kind of lip service to the name of Bethel, traditional, had a religious history. They might have paid lip service to this, people do today. However, over the years, the significance of the name of that place was lost. God was not now in the place as at the time of Jacob. But now, in fulfillment of the promise which God had made, Jacob's seed were actually back in that very area. The enemies had been driven out, and Bethel was now in the hands of God's chosen people. All those heathen had been put down. Well, what about this man? This man who had been quite a help in the whole affair. Most surely now, he will settle with the men of Joseph's household. No longer would this place be just a nominal Bethel. This fellow could become a worshipper of the true God and thus become a citizen of the household of God. That heavenly Bethel which is above, the eternal Bethel which will stand forever. But no. Although he seemingly had a part in this work, he quits it, and he goes into the land of the Hittites, there to assist further in the propagating of heathenism and of idolatry. And there among the Hittites, that very man who had close associations with the people of God, he built not another Bethel, but a Luz. And that place still existed right up to the time that the book of Judges was written, reputed to be the days of Samuel. There is not the application clear here, dear ones? This man of Bethel stands out in the scriptures as those who will join in with church activities, even appearing to help forward the work. And they have great opportunities of spiritual blessing and benefit. They're much akin to those people who have been before us in our Lord's Day morning services of late in the study of the Hebrew epistle. And in Hebrews chapter 6, you'll remember we have been dealing with those that were once enlightened, those who have tasted of the heavenly gift and of the good word of God, and then they fall away. But invariably, it does not stop at that. Falling away, turning away from the real truth, they then hive off to the spurious, to a sham Christianity. And there they build a counterfeit work. But it's not a Bethel. It's a Luz. A Luz of their own devising. And sad it is to say that vast numbers of establishments like Luz exist today. They have been set up by carnally minded breakaways from the true people of God, apostates. verse 27. Let me look at the map again here. Verse 27. Neither did Manasseh. So we're looking at the other tribe of the house of Joseph. This is Ephraim and Bethel. Now look at Manasseh. What do we read in verse 27? Neither did Manasseh drive out the inhabitants of Beth Shean and her towns, nor Taanach and her towns, nor the inhabitants of Dor and her towns, nor the inhabitants of Ibleam and her towns, nor the inhabitants of Megiddo and her towns, but the Canaanites would dwell in that land. Now these places mentioned here were situated in that area which I have marked in green, which is the plain of Jezreel. Not to scale, of course, but it just gives you some idea. And there you have those places mentioned. Jezreel itself was actually in the territory of Issachar. But the majority of the plain of Jezreel belonged to Manasseh. And they had heathen settlement in Dor, in Megiddo, and in Taanach. Ibleam is not mentioned, and I have not been able to trace it on any biblical map. That gives you some idea of those that Manasseh was engaging. This plain extended, as you can see, from the Mediterranean up there by Dor, right across the middle of Palestine to the River Jordan. This plain of Jezreel was a most fertile area of many hundreds of acres. And by far the major part of it, as you can see, was in Manasseh's territory. But, ends this verse, the Canaanites would dwell in the land. Now, going back about 18 years to the days of Joshua again, when the land was divided, we discover that this is not the first time that Manasseh had encountered these Canaanites in the plain of Jezreel. In Joshua 17, verses 11 and 12, we read this, "And Manasseh had in Issachar and in Asher, Beth Shean and her towns, and Ibleam and her towns, and the inhabitants of Dor and her towns, and the inhabitants of Endor and her towns, and the inhabitants of Taanach and her towns, the inhabitants of Megiddo and her towns, even three countries. Yet the children of Manasseh could not drive out the inhabitants of those cities, but the Canaanites would dwell in that land." Now here in verse 12 it is clearly stated that the children of Manasseh could not drive out the Canaanites. Verse 12 of Joshua 17, "The children of Manasseh could not drive out the inhabitants of those cities." Now in verse 27 of Judges chapter 1 it says, "Neither did Manasseh drive out those inhabitants," and it ends by stating that the Canaanites would dwell in the land. They would dwell there. Quite obviously, they had put up a stubborn resistance. What is more, the word "would" in its Hebrew form suggests come to some arrangement or enter into an agreement. Such is the underlying Hebrew sense of that word, translated "would." Well, this brings us to verse 28. "And it came to pass, when Israel was strong, that they put the Canaanites to tribute and did not utterly drive them out." First of all, this Israelitish tribe could not drive them out. But later, here it says, when they were strong. When they were strong. Well, then they should have driven them out. But you see, the Canaanites did not want to go. They had been there for generations. And it was such a fertile area. very profitable. And so the tribe of Manasseh struck a deal. We will not drive you out, said they. You're well established, but we will have a share in your work and in your wealth. You Canaanites must pay us tribute. And so instead of Manasseh driving out the Canaanites, they forged a link with them. It was compromise. Yea, it was more, because it was a total violation of that which God had commanded them. Beloved, that is what has been happening in Christendom for a very long time. Denominations and sections of the church, once sound on the fundamentals of the faith, began to hobnob with the Canaanites of worldly and unsound churches. With what result? They soon began to form links. Compromise became obvious as the truth of 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 14 to 16 was ignored. What do those words say? What fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath God with the temple of idols? And on this note I close. May the Lord bless his truth to us again this evening. Amen. Hymn number 786. 786, a paraphrase of a few verses of the 119th Psalm. Teach me, O Lord, the perfect way of thy precepts divine, and to observe it to the end, I shall my heart incline. 786. Now, our God, as we come to the close of this service this evening, we thank thee for thy word. We pray that its truth and its solemn application might be written upon all our hearts, that it might stand us in good stead in the days which lie ahead, that we might heed the warnings as they come to us and as they are illustrated to us through thine ancient people, Israel. We thank thee for these historical records, but they're not inscribed upon the sacred page just as history. They're there that we might discover the underlying spiritual truth. In this way, all Scripture becomes profitable for doctrine, for reproof, and for instruction in righteousness. And so for the instruction in righteousness which we have seen this evening, we thank thee, and we pray that thou wilt bless it to us, that it might be outworked in our own lives in this late day and age of human history. So, our God, dismiss us now with thy smile and blessing, and may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, thy love, O God our Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us this night and evermore. Amen.